Got your Bibles? We're going to turn to Matthew 26, and then we're going to get into the scriptures. Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75. It says, "Now Peter sat without the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying that thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. And he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied him with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. He went out and wept bitterly." Just thinking about that, as he says, I know not the man. The man he walked with. I can't imagine getting to know somebody for 3.5 years and then just sit there and deny that you know him. And I know not the man. That's just kind of mind-boggling to think about. So this morning we've seen, and I'm not going to go back too far at all. I just mentioned the points. But first thing we've seen was Peter's faith. We've seen his conversion, his confession, his conclusion, and his consecration. And then the last point we looked at was Peter's fall. He fell in his words. He fell in his walk. And he fell in his ways. Now, tonight, we're looking at Peter's forgiveness. I would title this message, His Restoration. We see Peter's forgiveness. See, isn't it interesting that throughout the Scriptures, as you read, you continue to see man's failure after failure after failure. But we also are able to see God's faithfulness. We fail, but God is always faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. See, we looked at the fact of God's faithfulness, but it says, who will not allow us to be tempted above that we are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape. That way of escape is a way out, which means an exit, as through a newly discovered mountain pass. It's a way out, not a way to avoid testing, but to overcome it and to endure what is necessary. Men may prove faithless, but God never. He seeks to make provision for our every need. It's kind of interesting, as I was comparing scriptures, of course this is a couple we used this morning, but 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says God is faithful. But then in 1 John 1:9, it says, If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we got to be remembered, we've seen Peter's failure, we've seen his fall. We've seen when he was saved. We've seen his fall. Now we get an opportunity to see his forgiveness. We see there in chapter 26 of verse 74, it says, Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. But then he says, Peter remembered the word of Jesus. He remembered back in verse, I believe it was 34 of chapter 26, it says, And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. That had to have been a hit, I guess, as being a man, and somebody would tell me that you're going to fail, and you're going to fail at this, and exactly tell me what's going on. I could see where his pride probably came up, and that's when he denied it. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. They all said that they were not going to deny him. And guess what happened? Peter denied him and everyone else scattered. They left him. See, that night, Peter received a wake-up call. When that clock crew, it brought back, he remembered with the word of Jesus. See, the rooster crowed to announce to Peter that he was in a wrong place, doing the wrong things with the wrong people. See, the Lord has a way to get our attention when needed while we're away from Him. And He used this rooster at this point. I mean, we think of, it brings me back thinking about this rooster. It's weird, but it takes me back to Balaam when he was riding the ass going, and God told him not to do it, but he said he went on doing it, and then the ass began to speak to him. It's unique in how God gets our attention. So we see there in verse 75, Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." He went out and wept bitterly. He went out and wept bitterly. We see Peter's repentance. See, he realized where he was spiritually and what he has done to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it literally broke his heart, and he sought to make it right with the Lord. We see his repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is simply it starts with a change of heart, but it's a change in direction, because when we repent, we're turning from sin and we're turning towards God. It's 180 about face, as they say. So we see his repentance. See, we must realize that sin affects more than just ourselves. And see, here, Peter, until this happened, he wasn't thinking about anybody else but himself. "I won't deny thee," as he said there in verse 35. "Yet will I not deny thee," likewise also said all the disciples. See, sin in our lives has an impact on our families, our community, our church. Besides all that, it grieves the Lord. If people would only realize how sin affects everybody else around them besides themselves, they might have a little different outlook. Sin, in all the depths and degrees, is a negative force anywhere it is found. It's a negative force. We need to have the Holy Spirit to shine the spotlight of the Word of God into the deepest recesses of our souls and expose our sins to us. We need Him to point out to us. Sometimes we don't realize what we're harboring, but God can show us through staying in His Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to show us. We see in I believe it's Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the scripture comes to mind. In verse 12 it says, "For the word of God is quick," that means it's alive, "and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." God's word can get to the root of the issue with the help of the Holy Spirit convicting our hearts and helping us deal with that sin. We need to get humble and honest before the Lord. We want God's blessing in our lives, our families, our churches, our cities, our states, our nation. This is the only way we can have a life-changing revival, when we allow God to work in our hearts. I went back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, and we've heard this, I mean, probably hundreds of times, but it says, "If my people, which are called by my name," first of all, they got to humble themselves. We got to come to a point to where we allowed ourselves to step out of the way. We die to self. "Shall humble themselves and pray," we need to pray, "and seek my face," we need to pray and seek God's face. And the part that everybody leaves out all the time, you hear this out in public or wherever, "and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins." But see, we have to turn from our wicked ways. That's repentance. "Then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." That's the only time, as we see Peter here, we see Peter's repentance. It says he went out and wept bitterly. He realized, he remembered what the word of the Lord said. He realized his sinfulness, and he went in for forgiveness. We have to repent of our sin, that's turn from it, and ask God. In 1 John 1:9, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He will forgive us, and He will heal their land. So we got to humble ourselves. See, it must start with us. If we ever would like to see revival, it must start with us. Each one of us. It has to start with me first. Another good illustration of repentance is Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. This is another one of my favorite passages of scriptures because I can relate to this. But Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11, it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and divideth unto them his living. And he divided it unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain, having filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself," this is where he turned from he realized his sinfulness. He realized how bad he really had it. "And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger." Boy, what a realization. He's the son of the father, but yet he decided to go off into a far country. And he's sitting there thinking one day, he came to himself and says, how many hired servants does my father have? And they eat, they have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger. I think he just got hungry enough to start realizing, I want to go back home. "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." See, that's the first thing we need to do. We need to, just as David was faced with Nathan, the prophet, and he realized once he realized he was caught, he confessed and he repented of his sin. There were still consequences. God still took the child. But he got right with God. "I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." This was his thoughts. He came to himself and he was thinking about this. The very next thing that happened, he took action. He arose, came to his father, but when he was yet a great far off, away off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the robe, the best robe, and put it on him, and put the ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. We see the mercy of the father here. It kind of brings back to remembrance the publican and the Pharisee when they go to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee, all he does is brags on himself. But here comes the publican, and he bows his head, and he cries out, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He arose and came to his father, but his father was rejoicing. We see in verse 23, it says, "And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." And when we see, "For my son was dead," he was as dead because he wasn't there. He chose to go on his own way. So death is a representation of separation or broken fellowship. He was living in broken fellowship until he came to himself. He repented. He come and confessed his sinfulness. And then now they're celebrating about their relationship was reconciled. They were rejoicing over that. But then we see in verse 25, it says, "Now his elder son was in the field. As he came and he drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him in safe and sound. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this, thy son was come. He wouldn't even acknowledge him as his brother. He says, soon as this, thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. See, just like he says, that all heaven will rejoice when one sinner comes. That's what we need to be happy when God takes somebody out of the world. We need to be excited about what God has done in somebody's life when we see somebody come along and God saves their soul. So we see his repentance. He came to himself. We need to lay ourselves, just as this man did here, before his Father in God's mercy. So we see Peter's forgiveness, his repentance. Now we see in John chapter 21 his restoration. His restoration. John 21. His restoration. Starting in verse 15, it says, So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto them, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto them, Feed my lambs. Now this has taken place after the fact, after Peter had denied him, after he had failed. Now the Lord is coming to him and saying, Simon, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. But we also see, I want to take you back to Mark chapter 16. I want to bring out one little point. We see Peter's restoration. We see Peter in John chapter 21. Jesus reminded Peter of his love for Peter, and there Jesus renewed his call on Peter's life. Because what did he say three times? First of all, he said, Feed my lambs. But then he said, Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And then we're going to look at here in the book of Acts here in a minute. But Mark chapter 16, Mark 16, starting in verse 1, we're going to read down through verse 12. It says, When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said to them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled for the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, of whom he had cast seven devils, and she went out and told them that he had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. But we go back and just to point out something here in verse 7. It says, Go your way, tell the disciples and Peter. Peter was one of the disciples, but he yet took enough time here to focus on Peter because of what Peter did. He failed. Now he's being restored, and he's being shown mercy and grace. See, tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. But we see in Jesus took Peter's failure and put it behind him forever and restored him to the place of blessing. See, Peter was forgiven. He was restored because he repented of his sin. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 103 and verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And if we were to think about that for a moment, as far as the east is from the west, if you go west, you can continue to go west. You never stop. But if you go east, you can continue to go east. So it's never ending. It's like a circle. It's never ending. There's no break, no start. As far as the east is from the west, he has taken our transgressions from us. He forgave. He restored Peter. See, sin creates our gulf between us and God. We see in Isaiah chapter 59 and 2, 59 and verse 2. It says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And it also says in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So there are some things that we need to, we had to keep short accounts, as they would say. We need to confess our sins so he can forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as it says in 1 John 1:9. But if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. Sin will keep us in a wrong relationship. If we confess and repent of it, then it restores that relationship. Peter was been restored. See, it stands as an umbrella over our lives, preventing the blessings of God from falling upon our lives. But repentance removes that gulf. Repentance restores you to the place of blessing, honor, and service. See, Peter repented, and then he was restored back to service. See, God desires our fellowship, so we never want to believe the devil's lies, because Satan doesn't want us to do anything. He wants us to continue to be out of fellowship with the Lord. But not only do we see Peter's repentance, we see his restoration, but we see Peter's revival. We're going to turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. This is after the fact, after he's been restored, after he's been recommissioned. Jesus told me to feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And here's Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, for I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, that thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Because it goes back, they all seen him, the risen Christ. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heavens, and he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received him were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Look at this. This is Peter's revival. We've seen his failures. We've seen where he repented. We've seen his restoration. Now we're seeing his revival. Look what God has done in this man's life. Through all of what he went through, God used him greatly to preach this great message. And it says, that day, there were added unto them 3,000 souls. Now, if Peter would have went off and not sought forgiveness, if he would not repented of his sins, would this ever would have happened? We don't know. But look how God used this man. See, he stood in the power of the Holy Spirit and preached the Word of God, and 3,000 souls were saved. How is this possible? Honesty. He was honest about his sin. He realized his sinfulness. He repented, and then simply the power of God was upon his life. See, God is in the business of restoration. He wants each and every one of us to walk in fellowship with him. So we see Peter's faith, we've seen his fall, but then we've seen Peter's forgiveness. See, he really wants to use us. The question is, are we willing to let him? Our availability is our greatest ability. As I don't know who said that once. I'm just repeating what somebody else said. Are we available for him? Are we willing to allow him to use us? We see Peter was wrecked and in shambles. Why? Because he denied the Lord. But then he repented of his sin. He took knowledge of it, and God restored him. And he used him greatly, as we've seen there in the book of Acts.